No Wall is Built of a Single Brick. Written by 7 Khepri Beatles. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, teen. Relationships, Depa Bilaba and Kanan Jarrus. Depa Bilaba, original female characters. Also tagged for angst and hurt comfort. Nightmares. That's probably not how the Force works in canon, but I don't care. And falling and coming back to the light and the struggle of the aftermath. Part 6 of 7's Star Wars Lesbification Agenda. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022. It was dark. It was dark, and it wrapped around her, seeping beneath her skin like slick black fuel, the kind that was used for speeders in the lower levels, thick and oily and slightly burning. With it came pain and helplessness and anger, all of them crooning a sibilant, sickly song. Surrender. Surrender, surrender. No, she thought, terror twisting her senses to razor-sharp points, and she scrabbled at it, tried to wipe it away, tried to breathe the clean, uninfected air that she knew was there, but it was just out of her reach, and the oily black coated her lungs, filled every crack and crevice until she couldn't breathe, couldn't see, couldn't move, and it's still whispered, give in, give in, give in. Blaster bolts whizzed through the air, and more of her troops fell. Jinx, Aurora, Phalanx, all their force-bright presences flickering out, along with so many others she could barely grasp at the number. She had to do something. But when she tried to reach out to the Force, it slipped through her grasp like sand through her fingers, disappearing into the wind. All she was left with was the press of the dark, and she had to do something. Her people, the ones she had sworn to protect, were dying. She had no choice. So she reached out and grabbed the dark desperately, fingers going sticky and black with it as it hummed in violent triumph, and her eyes and nose and mouth burned as the acrid liquid closed in around her. Depa jerked up, breathing shallow and fast, sweat a clammy sheen across her skin, tunic soaked with it. Her hands were shaking. Violent tremors, and her vision was equally uneven, spluttering at the corners with darkness. And she flinched, barely stopping herself from going tumbling off the bed. She was supposed to do something when this happened, she remembered, vaguely through the tight burn in her chest, the way bile rose in her throat. But all she could think was that she was glad Caleb usually slept in his room now, so she didn't have to worry about causing him distress, too. Unable to remember the solution to the problem and still rattled by the dream-enhanced memory, Deppa reached for the only steady thing she could with shaking hands, the small stones embedded in her skin. One small one at the bridge of her nose for the first, and a larger one between her brows for the continuous. Her fingers pressed against them, seeking relief and grounding, and she tried to focus on nothing but them, their cool, smooth surfaces, and the faint steadiness surrounding them in the force. She breathed, trying to slow the pace of it, and after a few struggling breaths, managed it. Just when she was finally finding some semblance of steadiness, the door slid open with a quiet whirr, and a familiar presence nudged against her own, followed by the small shadow creeping into the room. "Master?" Caleb asked quietly, coming to hover at the end of her bed. "Caleb," Deppa said, and suddenly felt the weight of 1,000 regrets crash over her. Did I wake you up? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to." "Yes," Caleb admitted. I could feel your fear." "Oh, Caleb," Deppa said, and it was half choked and shifted so she could hold her arms out to her Padawan. The boy hesitated for half a beat and then rounded the bed, practically throwing himself into her arms, and she folded herself around him, holding him gently but as surely as she could manage. It wasn't the first time they had found themselves in this position, and every time Deppa mourned it, pain and regret mingling like bitter friends, that Caleb, so young, had seen so many horrors in war, and now had to see his master undone. Did it make him feel fear? She wondered. She knew that if the same had happened with her own master, she would have been terrified. To have the person who swore to protect and nurture you fall, and then to deal with the aftermath, it would have broken her. Caleb was so, so strong to be able to continue on, and it broke her heart. For a long moment, they stayed like that. And then Caleb said, voice barely loud enough to hear, Can I stay with you tonight, Master? Just to make sure you're all right." Her throat was thick with emotion, and she wanted to cry, wanted to tell him that it wasn't his job to make sure she was okay, that, if anything, it was the reverse. But a beat passed, and Caleb shifted, and she realized the second hidden meaning behind it. Caleb wanted comfort. "Yes," she whispered, squeezing him once, gently, and let go just long enough to shift and pull back the blankets, to make space for him, glad that her tunic had dried in the time she had taken trying to calm down. She was too tired and shaky to try to get up and change it. Caleb scrambled into the bed quickly, tucking himself against her, and Deppa put an arm over him hesitantly, relaxing slightly as he gripped her tunic and curled so his face was buried in her neck. A few minutes passed, both their breaths shaky, and then, finally, Caleb dipped into the easy rhythm of sleep, and Deppa, warm and surrounded by the comfort of her Padawan's presence, found herself soon following after him. When she woke up again, the light of day was streaming in through the window, spilling over the two of them. Caleb was still curled against her, gentle breaths billowing across her skin. And she took a moment to ground herself in the sensation before carefully untangling herself so as not to wake him with the movement, and rose, padding over to the closet to grab a pair of robes, slipping into the fresher to get changed. When she emerged, Caleb was just on the verge of wakefulness, and she reached out, smoothing a hand across the patch of hair that stuck up at angles from where he'd rolled over. "Good morning, Padawan," she said. "I was just about to make some porridge." Caleb let out a soft sound of wakefulness. "Can you make some of the berry sauce?" he asked, peering up at her through thinly slit eyes, and Deppa's lips quirked. It was good to see him returning to his normal self. Deppa would indulge him in his sweet tooth this time, because she knew he needed it after the previous night. "Sure," she said. "Go get dressed and I'll handle it." Caleb pushed himself up and nodded, swinging his legs over the side of the bed and onto the floor, and slipped out of the room. Deppa followed after him, but broke off to the kitchen, pulling out a pot and filling it with water. Once she had the porridge on, she pulled out the frozen fruit mix and poured some into a small saucepan along with some sugar, and turned the heat on beneath it. Caleb came out just as she was finishing up, day clothes on and hair fluffed up from the shower, Padawan braid neatly done up as always. She found herself smiling at that as she served them. Caleb was often energetic and hard to direct, but in some areas he was just as exacting as Mace. She placed Caleb's bowl in front of him and settled down across from him with her own. "You have astronav and real literature today, right?" she asked. Caleb nodded. "Mm-hmm. And then," he paused, taking a bite, "I'm going to go out with Trilla and Saren to Little Muriel. If that's okay, Master." He flushed with embarrassment at having forgotten to ask permission first. But Deppa just smiled at him. "Sure," she said. "Just make sure you put aside enough time for your homework." "Yes, Master," Caleb said obediently, and then, "Master, will you be all right?" His face was twisted with worry, etched into lines that he was too young to have, and Deppa longed to reach out and smooth them from his face, but she knew that wouldn't solve the problem. She took a bite of her porridge, focusing on the starchy texture.
"I think so," she said. "I don't have an appointment with Healer Vow this week, but I was going to call Master Peer and ask if she wanted to have tea."
Caleb slumped noticeably, expression smoothing out with relief. "Okay, good," he said, and finished up the last of his porridge, rising to take his bowl to the sink. Unspoken, but clear across their training bond.
"I worry because I care."
The sentiment made her chest feel tight. She rose and followed him a moment later, and then watched him grab his data pads and hurry out the door, before starting on the dishes. Once she was done, she took out her comm, fingers hesitating for a moment before hitting the call button. It rang for a few seconds before the static resolved, and a deep voice reverberated over the line.
"A little light?"
Pierre asked, the vowels of her shiriwook rumbling and rounded.
"You don't usually call so early."
"Yeah, I..." Deppa cleared her throat. "I was wondering if you wanted to have tea?"
"Ah."
Pierre shifted, accompanied by the sound of something, a data pad maybe, being set down.
"I don't have any obligations today," she said. "I would be honored to join you for tea. I'll be by in 10 minutes.
"Thank you," Deppa said, and tapped the bridge of her nose before pressing her fingers over her heart, even if she knew Pierre couldn't see it, and ended the call to go prepare the tea. When the knock sounded on the door, she had just taken out the plates, and she waved the door open, calling, "Come in." A moment later, Pierre entered, her dark fur shining red under the warm overhead lighting. "Take a seat," Depa said, gesturing to the table, and brought the tray with the cups and the pot over, setting them down in the middle, before taking them off and pouring each of them their respective cups, the steam curling from the hot drink. For a moment, they sat there next to each other, watching it rise. And then Depa admitted, "I've started having the nightmares again." Pierre hummed, picking up her cup, balancing it delicately in her large paws.
"I thought I felt the lingering wisps of your distress this morning," she said, and took a sip of her tea.
"I woke Caleb up," Depa said, anguish leaking into her tone. I thought it was over, Pierre. I thought I had finally put it behind me."
The Wookiee sighed, low and rumbling. "I remember when my eyes turned green and I thought I had won the battle. But the fight is not a battle. It is a war, and sometimes you lose."
"How do you deal with it?" Depa asked, staring at her own cup, gripped between her hands, pale from the pressure, and tried not to sound hopeless. "I'm a counselor. I'm supposed to be better than this. I'm supposed to be an example. Instead, I just feel broken, a failure." She set her cup down, pressing her hands to her face, and breathed raggedly, overcome with emotion. Pierre set her cup down too, and reached out a paw towards her, settling it over her shoulder, the pads of her palm and fingers soft against the exposed skin of Depa's neck it brushed up against.
"You are not defined by how many times you fail," she said, "but by how you choose to get up and keep fighting. For us, the fight is harder than for those who have not fallen and struggled back to the light. But that doesn't mean it is impossible. Simply that we must be more mindful in certain areas and trust those closest to us to help us."
She squeezed Depa's shoulder gently. Depa felt panic begin to melt away, bit by painful bit. And suddenly, tears were leaking from her eyes and through her hands. Without thinking, she turned and buried her face in Pierre's shoulder, breathing in the earthy scent of her fur through shuddering breaths. Pierre wrapped her arms around her, gentle but steady, grounding, and Depa found herself suddenly, overwhelmingly glad for her presence. They had met through the mind healers, both of them searching for someone who could understand the horror of falling in battle as a desperate attempt to save those who relied on them, and they had grown close to friendship and more. It was moments like this that made Depa wonder how she could have coped had she not had someone who understood her so intimately and convinced herself that she didn't want to know. Finally, her tears dried and she pulled away.
"Thank you," she said, voice slightly hoarse. "Oh, little light," Pierre rumbled. "It is no cost to me. You have done the same for me, and I return it gladly."
She leaned forward, pressing her lips to Depa's forehead. Depa closed her eyes, letting out a shaky breath, and with it, the last of her worries, and pulled back slightly to tip her head up and kiss Pierre properly. When they pulled apart, Pierre said, voice tinged with amusement,
"If we are to drink tea, it might be wise to pour another cup, as ours have grown stone cold."
Depa glanced over at them and found they had, in fact, gone cold. Her lips twitched.
"That might be a good idea," she said,
and rose to go pour them out.
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.